This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, it is hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The text still on fire. 469, we can officially say Amari owns Brian. Brian needs to return his Super Bowl ring or give it to Amari.
Wow. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of times that Alabama's beating up on LSU.
Everybody check at Brian Broaddus if you're on Twitter, because somebody said Brian should take an L on this one. And look at the picture Brian posted. It's old school Brian Broaddus with the Lombardi.
I love that.
It's after we won it. They handed me that trophy.
Your hair used to be dark.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe I had the bad glasses, too. I like Harry Carey, like round glasses. That was bad.
Those are like 80s style or something.
Very, very 80s. Very 80s, yeah.
Yeah. 817, we love Amari. Hope he retires here. It's Nico in Fort Worth. 940, this dude's the most humble, unhumble person I've ever heard. Awesome interview.
I love how you had to talk about it. I was looking for a G-Wagon.
Yeah.
That was a great story.
What a great story.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. We got to move on with the content. But, yeah, you can go back and listen if you're just jumping in the truck with the Odyssey app. You can go back to the start of that last segment and hear our conversation with Amari Cooper. And he jumped into the debate that Jeff and Brian were having. They debated about this back in the 420 segment. And that was insane. That was fireworks with Jeff and Brian going after each other, calling each other idiots.
Yeah, we fought after that one. We did. We wrestled a little bit in the studio. I punched him in the hamstring.
I'm lucky to be sitting in this chair.
He put me in a figure four leg lock. Yeah. I didn't think anybody really did that in real life.
I can't see out of my right eye right now.
Yeah, it was a cagey veteran move. It's time to take a look at Cowboys Twitter, though. And we're talking here about how to replace Tank Lawrence. We got some midweek player quotes as they reflect on Tampa and look ahead to Los Angeles. The most interesting thing is a tweet that was taken down, and I bet the Cowboys would be mad if I was talking about this, but you should know about it, and it's not that big of a deal. It revealed that Micah Parsons was working out with the edge players at the start of practice.
Mickey said it on air.
Okay, Mickey said it on air?
He
cool.
did.
Yeah,
right, cool.
Blame
it on Mickey. Mickey said it on the KNC. That's why you should listen to them.
It makes sense. It's one of the biggest things that bothers me in sport is when you're like, oh, no, you know, this guy is a linebacker. And in Micah Parsons' case, he is going to be in everything for this team. Like, he's going to do all sorts of things. But if you run into a week and you are short of a position group and you have a guy who is capable of playing that position – and probably capable of doing it well, you put him there.
Yeah.
You know, we went through a long period of Cowboy time where it was, nope, he goes there, he goes there, you execute your job, that's how we're going to win.
Next man up.
Right.
It's an opportunity.
And now it's, well, next man up might not be so great, and, well, this guy's kind of a freak show, so maybe he can go down there and cause some damage and help us out for a week until we get Randy Gregory back. And so I hope that is. We see a lot of Micah Parsons on the line of scrimmage.
This is going to be a big test for Dan Quinn. You know, he's shorthanded as is, but, I mean, if he could figure out ways to get his best players in position to make plays, that's what coaching's all about.
Yeah.
You know, he's got – him and his staff have got to figure out they're going up against a quarterback in his second year who hasn't seen everything. He's a very talented guy, but like I said, they're going to have to smoke and mirror some stuff. And I don't think this is any different. I think they're going to have to come with some different things that this kid hasn't seen, maybe some slot blitzes, maybe some twist stunts up front, maybe Micah Parsons just blasting through the A-gap.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to figure some things out here in this game. It's going to be tough.
A lot of pressure on Parsons, but also pressure on Quinn. And
exactly.
Maybe when Randy Gregory gets back, you know, you put Leighton Vander Esch back more full-time, you get Keanu Neal and Jabril Cox and Jalen Smith in there, you can still be good at linebacker. If you can rush the passer on top of that, who knows? Maybe they can still have a decent front, although You know, I think they're probably on pretty thin ice. It's exciting. You know, when you get Micah Parsons and you find out, oh, he can do a lot of different stuff and he rushed the passer in high school and you see that in training camp. You're thinking, well, okay, well, we'll see a little bit of this, that, and the other thing during his rookie season. This just means more focus on the pass rushing. And if he shows he can do that at a consistent level, I think you got to, you know, consider a more permanent move because it's impossible to find guys that can give you double-digit sacks out there. You can find linebackers, and you look at how much they make, where they're drafted. I don't know. I think the pass rusher is at least 50% more valuable in today's NFL than the linebacker. We got some quotes, though. John Mashota, Cowboys kicker Greg Zuerlein on the team signing Lirum after Greg struggled. I mean, I'd be surprised if they didn't, he said. It was a bad game. No skirting around that. I'm going to go out there, practice, get my reps, and put my best foot forward.
Ha! Foot. He's a kicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate when you own it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's one of the things about sports is you can talk about a player who doesn't play well, but the players don't pick themselves to be in that position and they don't pay themselves.
Yeah.
The Cowboys went through camp with a kicker who wasn't physically fit to kick yet.
Right.
The sideline reporter of the broadcast was saying he didn't sound all that confident. Like, he went out there and tried to kick the ball. That's his job.
Yeah.
And afterwards, when you get asked about it, to own it like that, good for you.
Hey, that's terrific.
Just think how bad it would have been if he would have missed that game go-ahead field goal.
Yeah.
For 29? Yeah. That would have been brutal.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's when you look at, you know, if you're Jerry Jones and Bones Fossil and Mike McCarthy and those guys, you look at yourself and say, man, you know, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the general manager, I'm asking my coaching staff, what are we doing here?
Yeah, especially in light of the segment that we did at 3 o'clock from that story you sent us earlier, the math actually says they should have gone for it on 4th and 6. Maybe part of it was Zuerlein struggles or Tom Brady or just the math of it. But with a minute and a half to go, if you go up 2 and you give it to the other team that has a good offense, you know what's about to happen. I mean, we were watching it and we hoped the Cowboys would win, but we expected a Cowboys loss at that point, right? Well, it turns out the advanced algorithm math that decides should you kick or go for it said on 4th and 6, they should have gone for it. Instead, they decide to kick with a kicker who was hurt and having a horrible game. So I don't know. I'm up for talking about how this coaching staff needs to get turned over, or at least the head coach needs to get turned over. So I if you're going to lose the game, I would rather they lose it in a way that embarrasses Mike McCarthy to the maximum extent. John Mashota tweeting a CeeDee Lamb quote.
Wasn't a compliment sandwich.
No. No.
That was a slap upside the head with a shovel.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to lose, make sure Mike McCarthy gets embarrassed. And throw him under the bus. CeeDee Lamb on his week one drops. I was in my own head, just continuing to stay positive, stay focused, and attack the day. Lamb said his brother asked why the ball hit the ground more than it should. Little brothers are going to keep it as brutally honest as you need it. So I'm not concerned. It seems like he has an incredible ability to track the ball, adjust with his body, one hand if he needs to. Is this trying to run before you get the ball? Is this just a little mental adjustment and inexperience? Or what do you guys attribute his drops to?
Well, it's interesting because all three of those,
like the first one, depends, didn't have a chance.
Right, it depends who's grading. Yeah. I would call it 2.5 drops because the first one was underthrown and he hit the deck and he tried to reach out and get it. And if he got it, it would have been great, but I wouldn't have expected him to catch that, I don't think. Second one was a straight-up drop on a low – that was a low ball, right? But it was a drop. And then the third one, I think it just might have been the fact there were 5 defenders around and he wasn't real comfortable going out to snag it, but I've seen him catch the ball in those scenarios before. So it's weird, but even though he had multiple drops and maybe 3 drops, I'm also not worried about it.
Yeah,
like, he is a guy that has good hands. He can make incredible catches, and sometimes for the guys who can make the incredible catches, you have to remember the basics when it's not one hand over contested corner, and like, you just got to catch the ball before you can do anything with it.
Man, so many times this rookie year, we saw him go in the middle of the field and just get smacked and come down with the ball. So when you have one come off his hands like that, you're like, man, that's a bad chance. That's not a bad chance, but it was tough for him because he makes those plays. If he'd gone in there consistently and we'd seen him drop a bunch of passes, then you go, okay, I get it. But the fact that he's gone in there and made those types of plays, I think those are one you could say, okay, that's an interception that's probably not on Dak. That's on me. And it'd probably be better for it.
He had drops last year too, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
So we need to see a little bit more sure hands here, or maybe he'll get that label.
Yeah, well, that's why the guy we just talked to, the other guy we just talked to gets 130 targets.
Because he's been a drop guy throughout his career.
But I tell you what, I haven't noticed him drop as many balls as I had when he was with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Mm. Some of the stuff with the Raiders, you were like going, oh, that was pretty significant play right there you should have made. I've seen more clutch from him than I did when he was with the Raiders.
Michael Gelkin tweeting a quote from Jalen Smith, who played his fewest snaps since 2017. He played 16 snaps. A different experience, but for me, I've been through so much, I'm locked in. Whenever my name is called, I'm going to be here to ball, and that's just my mentality. Whatever it takes for this team to win. That's Jalen Smith putting the team first. Love it. Michael Gelkin, Cowboys getting in the mood for L.A. Practice music during stretch period was nothing but a G thing, and it was a good day. Little Ice Cube, little Dr.
Okay.
Dre.
Okay.
As the team goes to L.A. to take on the Chargers Sunday in Inglewood. There you go.
Gonna whoop them, too.
All right. We'll end with
the pre and the post for you, too.
Right on, yes. Yeah. Broadison. And we'll end with a Dez Bryant tweet. Last night, of course, I'm following Dez nonstop. He's into the same stuff I am, at least outside of the sports world. He's going NFT mad. He is. He's crazy. He's advising athletes now on how to incorporate NFTs into their business plan. And I'm trying to figure out what he meant by this tweet last night. Call me Baby Yaga from now on.
Oh, I looked it up.
I'm not responding if you don't call me Baby Yaga. Okay, you looked it up. What did it say?
Baby Yaga is a supernatural being who appears as a deformed or ferocious-looking old woman. In Slavic culture, Baby Yaga lived in a hut, usually described as standing on chicken legs. Baby Yaga may help or hinder those who encounter her or seek her out.
Huh. So I bet he's got like a baby Yaga NFT, like a painting or some sort of an image of baby. That would be my guess. But that's pretty cool. Maybe it's like, you know, Greg Hardy was the Kraken, the mythical beast,
yes.
and Dez is going to reinvent himself as Baby Yaga. I'm coming here to torment your dreams.
Yeah,
comeback season.
If you
like
seek
that.
Me out, I will help you. Huh?
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you seek out Baby Yaga for help?
I guess.
Baby Yaga doesn't torment you?
I don't, Gavin. Well, come on, man. I said I knew, but I don't know.
I'm telling you, it's interesting. It is. All right. Yeah?
Yeah, let me ask you this. You do follow along. You guys have the same interest. Is he giving good advice?
I think so. I'm a beginner with the NFTs.
Okay.
You know, but yeah.
If you're like following along, it's stuff worthwhile?
I think so. He's dialed in with high end people.
So he's
like he's going out to dinner and he's getting advice from everybody in the know.
So he's worth the follows in on that stuff.
I think so. Okay. Absolutely.
We are also getting reports this could be a John Wick reference.
Okay.
That's what they called John Wick in the first one.
Okay. That'd be cool too. Here we go, Nation. When we come back, we're going to see what Jeff wants to talk about in the sports world. Where are we going, sir?
Oh, the next Olympic sport. We're all going. Let's do it. It's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to G-Bag Nation. Yes, sir. Let's move on over here and see what Jeff wants to talk about. The segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels at 214-333-3333. Go to truckwreck.com. It's also brought to you by Soda. State of the art. Here's Kavanaugh.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
What's up out there? Text in.
And I'm still buzzing from that Amari Cooper interview. It was so
great.
Fun.
That was a great interview. That was a great interview. And you know what? I bet he's great at what we're about to talk about. Because I think Amari Cooper is one of those guys that if it's any sort of a game, he'd just pick it up and be like, oh, okay, I'll try that. And he'd be great at it.
Yeah.
The American Cornhole League has taken its first outside investments. Basketball coach John Thompson III and real estate investor James Simmons III have invested in the fast-growing league.
I'll take a fourth.
The American Cornhole League commissioner says, I'm really excited about the doors this is going to open for us. We're looking forward to adding on partners that they can bring to the table and then business expansion in general. We like to say we're the only sport that can be played at another professional or college sporting event. The portability of our game is unique, and obviously we want to make cornhole an Olympic sport, which I'm excited about. I think they should put it in. I accidentally was watching cornhole on TV. What was that, last Saturday?
The Johnsonville-sponsored cornhole stuff going on here.
You talking about the Bratwurst?
Yeah, they sponsor this thing.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, I was watching. I didn't watch the finals. I watched the semifinals, world championships.
A couple of in-shape guys going at it.
It was a guy and a gal, and the gal took him down. No, one-on-one.
One-on-one.
And she moved on to the finals, the world championship. I don't know who won. She might have won, or maybe some guy beat her. Don't know. But I got to tell you, better to watch than soccer, you know? There's a lot of Olympics.
This whole segment about killing soccer. I love it.
There's a lot of Olympics.
It's a long buildup.
Cornhole, more fun to watch than power walking. I'll tell you that right now. Okay?
We did watch like 2 hours of power walking, didn't we?
Did you just say I don't know about the power walking being better?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of cornhole.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's kind of like darts. It's just
another
great
sport.
It's a little bit more tailgatey, I guess.
I guess maybe sport isn't the right word. Competition. I don't know if cornhole's a sport. Is it? 877-881-1053.
I don't think I've ever played cornhole where anybody knew how to keep score.
What?
There's always controversy.
Three in, one on.
There's always
cancel out.
There's always controversy. We were at that crawfish boil. You guys couldn't figure it out that one time.
Who couldn't? Yeah.
You were one of the participants.
Three in, you one
and,
on. You canceled.
You and Hellman were like, it was going back and forth. There was a lot of controversy. We couldn't really figure things out.
Okay, so I brought this up because I got a cornhole set, and I've been practicing, and I'd like to be an Olympian before I die.
You're pretty good at it. I've watched you play.
He's better at beer pong.
They're not going to make that in Olympic
They should.
Sport.
I would watch that before I'd watch cornhole. Beer pong in the Olympics would be great.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be great.
Jeff, for that soccer comment. Sorry about that.
Signed, FC Dallas.
I think cornhole is a little bit closer to shuffleboard. though, then.
And shuffleboard's in the Olympics, basically. They just do it on ice with a big shuffle.
There you go. There you go.
Stone.
Yeah.
That's called a stone.
I don't give a crap what it's called. They're pushing
they're sweepers.
They're pushing a rock
give
down the
sport
ice.
Give the sport some respect.
If pushing a rock down the ice can be an Olympic sport, throwing beanbags into a hole can be a sport. Do you know how good these people are?
I'm just telling you. Very talented. I'll tell you what, axe throwing would be better than cornhole.
Bring it.
I'll drink to that.
I do axe throwing.
I think the teams in the Netherlands would probably blast us with these axe throwers, but.
I think they should do the thing where the people, I don't know what country it's in, but like every year they roll a giant wheel of cheese down a hill and people have to roll down the hill and whoever gets there first like wins the wheel of cheese. Wow. I think that should be an Olympic sport.
Wow. How about this? Have you ever seen that sport like they do in Ireland where they throw like telephone poles? They get like really low and they throw like they, it's like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The long toss or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's called hurling because that's a separate sport.
Hurling is when you vomit after beer pong.
That would be a sport.
That's hurling. For distance? Something like that?
Or projectile?
Yeah. Because you can't do it by volume because that's just how much is in your belly. It's got to be for distance.
Do you make yourself get sick at night when you drink too
much?
It's
been a long time. I shouldn't have
left. Can you make yourself get sick by just thinking about it?
No. Got to go finger.
You got to go finger?
Yeah. Got to go back there.
I can make myself think about it.
And what you do is you just play like you're doing a little miniature boxing match with your whatever the dangler is.
Thing.
You
just
kinda,
yeah, you treat it like a punching
and
bag.
And the next thing you know, it comes flying.
Usually takes me 2-3 goes. Usually get a gag or two and then you expel what you're trying to expel. But I normally can't go that hard anymore. Now when I get good and turned up, I get tired and I'm just like, it's time to go to bed. So I won't make it that far unless I start with Fireball. That's kind of the way that goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're trying to get cornhole to the Olympics. I support it.
I don't.
The telephone pole is called a cobber? Caber? Cobber? Caber?
It's like a caber to me.
Caber? And it's in Scotland, not Ireland. Get it together, Brian.
Oh, okay, I'm trying to get there.
And people do agree with you that a lot of the backyards sports have scoring controversies.
There is.
There shouldn't be.
There always is, Jeff. There always is.
The only
is.
Place there's controversy.
Sean Sharif, I've watched him play. He can never get the score right. Him, Choppy, they always miss the bag.
They're hammered.
Yeah, that's their problem.
What's Jeff?
Well, half hammered.
A little bit less.
Well, yeah. Come on.
The first, if
it gave
the bag
you a ride
is,
home, you were hammered.
Okay, but see, that was when I was, so I made a good decision.
We
look,
did a good job of the crawfish that day, by
a
the way.
Bag on the board is worth a point. A bag in the hole is worth 3 points.
But you play with three other idiots.
Yeah.
And there's always controversy in that game. They need a scoreboard or something because it's never the score's never right.
It's hard to observe stuff like that for me. I'm just like, I'm out of it. If it's not a clean score, you know.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that's three in, one on the
no,
side.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, you only got, you know, there's.
I mean, you could debate if you've got one making contact with the ground, if the bag is on enough. But there's not a lot to debate in cornhole. There's not a lot to debate in cornhole. Yeah. Ronaldo. Had to move.
He's happy about being at Man U.
He went back to Man U, and as soon as he got there, he and his family moved into a $6 million home on 23 acres.
By his family, it's him and his mom and his son, right?
His partner, Georgina.
Okay.
And their four children.
She's bad looking.
Oh, they got four children now.
Yeah, four kids.
For the longest time, he was like a mama's boy, and he like took his kid from his first, I don't know.
Baby mama?
Procreation. And, it was just living with his mom.
Procreation.
What did you just do?
But you would take like your kid from your first procreation.
Like he built it out of something?
Like Play-Doh?
No.
Are you saying that baby mama didn't have access and he did?
What is this?
I don't know. I was looking for a word.
Well, he and Georgina and the kids. Yeah,
it's a chemistry set in the back.
It's not $6 million, but I always get confused if it's euro or pound. I think it's pound.
Pound.
They had a 6 million pound house on 23 acres. It just sounds so weird to say. 6 million pound house? Yeah. Like, that's how much it weighs.
Yeah, convert it to euros.
But anyway, yeah, I can do that. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Keep score cornhole.
I can. You don't understand.
I watch you guys. It's embarrassing.
You're embarrassing. You embarrassed yourself with Amari Cooper today. How about that?
Fighting with an NFL player. I forgot how fun that was.
People are enjoying us fighting. So shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
Jeff, what about a leaner? There's no such thing.
Oh, here we
in
go.
Cornhole, it either goes
here
through the hole
here
and onto the
go.
Ground or it doesn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If your bag is being held up by a corner, by a bag, and 98% of your bag is in the hole, it don't matter because it didn't fall. It's got to fall. They had to move out of the house because there were sheep, and the sheep were too loud. Just sheep noises. And so Ronaldo was like, hey, get
That's
us out
bad.
Of here. Yeah, they said the property is beautiful, and it's nestled in rolling fields and woodland, but it was also close to sheep, which are very noisy early in the morning.
Oh.
So I don't know if he bought a house for like $6 million and then immediately moved out, or if he was renting.
Renting, I bet.
But that would kind of suck. If you're like, yeah, $6 million, whatever, we'll buy this one. And then you show up. And
I think he's got homes probably all over the world.
Next morning, you're like, pack up your crap. They're sheep. Yeah. They're waking me up. But yeah, they've relocated to a 3 million pound, 7-bed, owned by a former Man United star, which I don't know who that is because I don't know who's ever played for Man United. It doesn't say the name.
Rooney.
But yeah, you guys ever had to move out of a house because of sheep?
No, that's not amongst
just,
the reasons.
No, the house was just too run down. We tried to rent. That was because we were broke and a bunch of us tried to throw money together to get a house, you know, to live, and it was just too bad.
Gunfire?
Like a college house?
Yeah, a college house. And we couldn't live there. I mean, it's like, it just wasn't right.
Gavin, did you move out of Sean's neighborhood because of Sean or because of gunfire, or what was the situation there?
Bad neighbors, I think.
No,
right?
That was just like a starter home, and we wanted a bigger yard.
That it was not a starter home, sir.
Yeah.
Sean
yeah,
lives in like a starter home neighborhood?
Well, you know, he's got the one child, you know, and I think it's around 2,500 square feet or something like that. I think it's a beautiful home.
This man is saying 2,500 square feet is small.
We just wanted more.
Clearly, we're not good for this world.
I got to talk to Dream Lending then.
Exactly.
Because when you say 2,500 square feet is small, it's very disrespectful to 648 square feet.
It's perfect when you have like just the you know, a husband and wife or maybe one or two kids, but. Once you push into like four or five people living in the house, it can get a little bit crowded. So you want to expand your operation a little
and
bit.
And you got what now? 11,000 square feet?
We couldn't put a pool in that one. Abby was begging for a pool, you know? Plus, I had friends in Sunnyvale and they were singing the praises about it and seemed to make sense at the time.
Police in Galveston got a 911 call that a man dressed head to toe as Michael Myers from the Halloween series walking on the beach.
Love it.
Just prior to Tropical Storm Nicholas. Guy's a lawyer named Mark Metzger. He was walking down the beach carrying a bloody knife. It was a fake bloody knife, but a bloody knife nonetheless.
I've seen a picture of this
full
guy.
Full Michael Myers gear.
Full gear.
And so like he's going to get in trouble, and he's going to have to pay a fine, I think, but not serve any jail time. But he says he'd do it again.
Yeah, he should get a community award for that. That's great entertainment.
He said, I think it was a ridiculous citation, but I think their hands were tied, and I understand they had a job to do. I'm respectful of that.
The best one are the Michael Myers that are sitting in the passenger seat of a car or driving, and then they turn and look at the person next to them. They pull up at a light, and they got the look.
That's, I'm scared just thinking those people, about that.
That is a great look.
It's a good bit.
You're all caught up. See you next week.
All right. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, Dan Quinn was comparing this week's opponent to our guy. And I have a question for you. Put a poll out on this earlier. Which one would you take for the next 8 years of quarterbacking? It's next in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Pack Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have Jeff's Unnamed Sports segment of the day coming up here at 6. Jared Sandler at 6:15 getting you ready for the Rangers. Dan Quinn talking as they're getting set to take on second-year quarterback Justin Herbert. Compared him a lot to defending Dak. And I think that's interesting. Is it a good comparison for you guys? The Autoflex Leasing Fantex is open. I know Brian's been a big fan of Herbert. You know, I don't mean to say that in a way to slight Dak, because he is, by most people's, agreeing, somewhere between the fifth and eighth best quarterback in the NFL. But that's where Herbert is as well in his second year. Maybe the story is just about how quickly he has ascended into this elite quarterbacking group in the NFL. And maybe we're looking at another possible future GOAT that you're going up against here in week two there with Justin Herbert. Led his team on an incredible drive that any veteran would be stoked to have to close out their week one win against Washington. A great defense. But let me ask you this. If you had to go the rest of the career, or let's just call it the next 6 or 7 years since Dak is like 5 years older, would you go Dak or would you go Herbert? And, we'll take your best thoughts at 877-881-1053. NFL.com has their QB index up today, and they actually have Herbert ahead of Dak, which surprised me. They have Herbert at 6 and Dak Prescott at 8. So a couple of different ideas there for you boys to chew on. What do you say?
I am a Dak homer. I think Justin Herbert might be one of the very rare young guys that I might actually say Herbert. It's hard because, like, a guy like, say, Josh Allen. I won't call Josh Allen a better quarterback than Dak because I've watched a career of his, and last year was really, really good. If he replicates it this year, then sure, you could move that around. And Herbert's only got a one-year sample size.
Yeah.
But, man, that one-year sample size is really, really good.
Yeah.
And just watching him play last week, he's a better athlete than Dak. Like, he runs faster than Dak does. He's probably got a little more powerful arm. They're both really good in the pocket, throwing while moving. I would assume Dak is further ahead in terms of like adjusting things at the line of scrimmage and things like that. But Herbert is one of those dudes that I think has made an impression so quickly that it is a good question.
You know, and I struggle to crown a guy after year one. We saw Carson Wentz, you know, so Dak definitely gets points for proving it for longer. But Herbert doesn't have a great offensive line, you know, and he played incredibly well last year. Pretty good wide receivers.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, Corey Lindsey, the center, who is an all-pro from the Packers, is on the line now. Brian Bulaga, we've talked about it, right tackle is not very good. Slater, the left tackle, is going to be one of those guys. I think that he's – I remember I talked about last year with Tristan Wirfs and where he, you know, with Tampa. I thought that was Walter Jones, a guy you're very familiar with being from up there at the – Pacific,
so they've
Northwest.
Built him a good line now.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying to build him a line because they realize that having him protected is their best path for victory. And Tom Telesco, the GM and stuff, I mean, they've tried to draft some guys. Derwin James on defense is a guy, you know, Bosa. They've got players, but I personally think they need somebody that could just take, as they say, take that top off the defense when it comes to a receiver.
Oh, a burner. You know,
yeah, if they had a burner, because this guy, like Jeff was talking about, his ability to slide, to move, to read, to throw, to be accurate. He could throw it down the field. He could throw it underneath. He could throw it to the sidelines. He could throw it in tight holes. I mean, there's things that he can do. And I voted in your poll, and I voted for Herbert is who I voted for.
Oh, what a hater.
And I voted for him for the reasons that, much like what Jeff was saying, I think they're both incredibly tough. I think they're both incredibly talented. I think they're leaders. I think as a thrower, just a pure thrower, Herbert's got the edge there. And I think that's where, to me, if you're starting to talk about long term, where his numbers could be, you know, Dak has had some incredible days and numbers where it's, you know, 400 yards passing and stuff like that. But Herbert was one of those guys that, you know, even in his rookie year, he was, you know, a 366, 326, 347. I mean, he was on the cusp, even on his rookie year, of having numbers similar to what we see right now, the good Dak Prescott that we've seen here the last couple of years.
You're more confident in Herbert than you were after Wentz after 1 year?
Oh, I was not. See, we were in that whole big draft because I got burned in that draft because I didn't like, it was Goff, Wentz,
Lynch.
And Lynch. And I was a Lynch guy, which was terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. About that. But so, you know, the thing that with, I was, to be honest with you, I am so glad. And I know what a great player Young is for the football team. I am so grateful as a guy who like follows the Cowboys and watches the Cowboys that the football team didn't draft Justin Herbert.
That's a great point.
Yeah. That to me, because here you had Ron Rivera coming in there, and I was thinking, okay, well, they've got Haskins. Are they just going to jettison Haskins and take Herbert? That was my big, big concern.
Yeah.
As good as Chase Young is, I was really worried that they were going to take Herbert second overall.
We've dodged some bullets. We really have.
Got fortunate there, I think.
Okay, 469 says, I think Dak's next few years will be much better than his first years because he has a different coaching regime. We are not as rush heavy as we were under the Garrett regime, so the passing elements will show even more. Yeah, I think Dak is very much entering his prime, and these years will be even better. Dak, 78% of the poll, by the way, 22% going with Herbert.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn saying, outside the pocket, this is a player that can create on the move, much like Dak does when he gets outside, and he can rip the ball downfield when he gets there. When you have a player who can do that, it's almost like defending two plays. He says, here's the first play, the quarterback's in the pocket on a passing play, the second play outside the pocket, and that's when plays get extended 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds, and he's got the arm strength to deliver it all the way. So do you think he's good enough to power that team along with the addition of Lindsley and the drafting of Slater that they'll go from, like, were they 6-10 or 5-11 last year?
Yeah, but they're the Chargers.
Yeah.
And, like, Herbert's going to have to change them from chargering. Because even with him in there, they find the most weird way to lose games, like, 5 times a year.
There's three
teams. They're the Cowboys.
Yeah, there's three teams in the league that lose games the weirdest way. The Chargers, the Cowboys, and the Raiders. They either win or lose games in, like, watermelon kick. Oh, you won the game. You know? I mean, just look at how the Cowboys are. Look how the Chargers will be in games, and they had a situation where all they had to do was clock management to win a game, and then they don't. And then they have a whole new coaching
staff.
Should
have beat the Patriots in, like, 06 or something like that.
They've got a lot. They're one of these teams that's got talented players, but I do like what they've done, or they're trying to do along the offensive line.
Tom Brady has revealed he does not eat bread. I don't know if this is a repeat of an old story. Seems like he's talked about his diet quite a bit. He says, as this new commercial will tell you, I don't eat bread, but at the end of the day, I recognize greatness when I see it. He is a spokesman for Subway.
Subway.
So he's talking about it. The 44-year-old
eat
is
fresh.
An anti-inflammation expert. Says it's good for keeping a person young. By eliminating bread or cutting it down significantly, it can help some to experience more sustained blood sugar levels, leading to more sustained energy levels. Walsh also noted that blood sugar spikes from eating too much bread can accelerate aging. I'm so on bread, but you know, I like the cupcakes, Twinkies, Zingers.
Okay,
What Tom Brady says about those?
I don't know.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't say anything positive about Zingers and Ho-Hos.
Which do you think Tom Brady has more of a problem with? Zingers, cupcakes, or bread?
You can't convince Tom Brady that Zingers cupcakes exist.
Okay, but let's act like we're Tom Brady. Which one do you think he has the most problem with?
What's the zinger? What's it made of?
It's
like,
great.
It's like got filling in it and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's like a Twinkie with less cake and then like a strip of the best icing sitting on the top.
What the crap.
Yeah. It's genius.
What the crap.
You know, I was always not that impressed by the Twinkie. I thought it was kind of more of, I don't know, a viral sensation than it was a delicious dessert. But the zinger fixed that.
What about the Star Crunch?
Star Crunch, all right.
Okay, what about the one, what's the one that is kind of chocolatey and it's got the white little circle-y icing
the zebra
across
cakes?
The top, and then inside is the white stuff,
a Ding Dong.
Too.
Ding Dong. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, a Zinger is a close relative to the Ding Dong.
Does the
very
Ding
similar
Dong still
concept.
Come in foil? Because back in the day...
Oh, I always loved that.
Back in the day, a box of Ding Dongs had foil.
I don't know,
but they're wrapped up in foil.
You can keep this audio. I love the Ding Dong.
You know, I think you're going to love the Zinger then, too.
Okay.
It comes in chocolate and vanilla. But the Ding Dong, while it's great, is a little bit more stale than the Zinger. The Zinger has the moistness of the cake that you truly desire.
Okay.
Jeff.
I see. Okay? I hear you talking.
How about those crisp things you eat?
The sugar wafers.
The sugar wafers.
Yeah.
Do you think Tom likes those?
No. I don't think he's...
Oh.
I don't think he's had any of these items since like his rookie year.
He's got to like something.
There's fruits that we would be so proud that we ate healthy that day that we ate, and he would be like, that's awful.
Tom doesn't do strawberries.
Yeah,
raspberries out.
Bad for you.
He'll do blueberries.
I'm telling you what, the guy's going to Germany and getting blood transfusions. It's like the Rolling Stones, the musical. He's doing something.
And HGH, I bet. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing whatever it takes. Says he's going to play till 50. Coming up next, it's time for Jeff's unnamed sports segment, Oh the Day, and where are we headed with that?
Well, let's preview this train wreck that's coming up in about an hour and a half next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.